I cannot help but think of how things would be different if the world had known the truth back then, or if they had been the Menendez sisters.
Family members of Eric and Lyle Menendez say they should get out. What will the DA do? It's October 16th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy Family of Dealerships. I'm Alex Silverman. It's not every family member.
As the brother of a murder victim, it really is offensive to find out what's going on in your sister's murder case from the news.
Full Menendez story breakdown ahead. Also coming up, the search for an injured deer shuts down the Hollywood Reservoir and brings out all sorts of people.
One woman I spoke with who declined to be interviewed proclaimed to be some sort of deer whisperer, telling me she can help find the animal because she feeds them and they know her voice.
All that, but first, this. Hey, if you're listening to this in an article on KNXnews.com, go right now to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, search for the LA Local, hit follow, and you'll get an update every weekday afternoon on everything you need to know that's happening in Southern California, and the morning and evening updates, too, from our colleagues at KNX News. It was quite a scene in downtown L.A. More than a dozen family members of Jose and Kitty Menendez gathering to call for the release of Eric and Lyle. Karen Vandermolen Copley is a cousin of the brothers, niece of Kitty. She said she believed from the beginning that Lyle and Eric were abused by their father.
I cannot help but think of how things would be different if the world had known the truth back then, or if they had been the Menendez sisters. Adults of abuse have difficulty getting out of their situations, and yet these were two young boys who were never allowed to make decisions on their own. They lived in constant fear and were unable to make any other decisions than the sexual violence that they were taught at the very hands of people who were supposed to love and protect them.
Emily Valdez was there as the family members spoke. And first of all, Emily, describe the scene. I saw a wide shot of all the media, and I don't think I've ever seen so many cameras.
Yeah, it was harkened back to the 1990s with O.J. Simpson and the first Menendez case. I was trying to think when I've seen a group of media like this, so many accents from foreign countries, and I haven't seen anything like this since the 90s. So it was a media madhouse.
Obviously, a lot of interest in this case with the Netflix show and the word about the new evidence in the documentaries and the DA coming out saying he's reviewing the case. Was it surprising to you to hear so many members of the family, having covered this case for so long, speak in support of the brothers?
Well, the original documentary came out in May of 2023, and it was on Peacock. It's called Menendez and Menudo, Boys Betrayed. So there were some of the family members that spoke during that documentary when the new evidence came out. What I wasn't expecting was 20 family members from both sides of the family. So we had Kitty's side of the family. We had Jose's side of the family here. And they're all supporting the brothers, either resentencing or having the conviction overturned. There's two ways that this can go about.
And you, during our DA debate, asked the DA about the timing of his announcement. He insisted that it was not political, had nothing to do with the election. This, you know, was going to come up at this time, as he put it. What does the timeline look like now?
Well, the timeline looks the same. I can tell you that family members, a group of them, if not all of them, walked over to Gascon's office. There is a rule, a law, where the DA has to listen to the victims, and they're victims in all this. So they went over to speak with Gascon personally and basically make a plea for resentencing or conviction.
Anything else that you think people should know about what happened today?
Well, you know, the Netflix drama series Monsters brought this into a light. People talk about a Netflix documentary, but the original one was actually on Peacock, and it has been out for a long time. But it was really the drama series Monsters, which is not a documentary, but kind of a fictional account based on, you know, the murders.
Yeah, definitely, you know, some elements of it fictionalized in Ryan Murphy's way of doing things.
But absolutely.
As you point out, the DA said that it was media asking about the case in response to interest because of the Netflix show that got him to come out and say that he was looking into it.
Right. And I, in a way, I feel like, shouldn't you have been saying that if you're looking into it already? But that's just my opinion.
All right. Emily Valdez, thanks.
Thanks.
And the DA, George Gascon, telling some media today that a decision could come in the next couple of weeks, maybe as soon as 10 days. Again, the hearing not scheduled until November, though. It wasn't unanimous among the family members. An attorney for Kitty Menendez's brother says the DA's office hasn't communicated with her client about anything about the case. Kathy Cady tells us the DA's office had a prosecutor who kept Milton Anderson informed for about 17 months after the documentary came out, but that changed after George Gascon announced publicly he was taking another look at the case.
As the brother of a murder victim, it really is offensive to find out what's going on in your sister's murder case from the news. You shouldn't have to find out about it that way. You should find out about it through the prosecutor's office. But Mr. Gascon didn't see fit to do that.
She says she sent an email to the DA's office requesting a meeting between Milton Anderson, Kitty's brother, and Gascon. She says Gascon's chief of staff wrote back saying he isn't directly handling the case. Gascon last week during the DA debate, he on KNX said that he would be the one, though, making the final decision. We reached out to the DA's office about that email request, and we were told the office didn't have any comment to give us.
In situations like this, considering the animal is injured, we need as much, frankly, peace and quiet as we can to try and do our job to get to that animal and to rescue it and to give it some relief.
Going on day three to find this deer with a bone stuck in its mouth in the Hollywood Hills. The Hollywood Reservoir was closed to let the wildlife officials find it, and it's brought out all sorts of characters.
People wanting to get their exercise in here have been turned away. One woman I spoke with who declined to be interviewed proclaimed to be some sort of deer whisperer, telling me she can help find the animal because she feeds them and they know her voice. But Fish and Wildlife's Tim Daly says while they appreciate people wanting to help, they'll actually get in the way. As for feeding them, don't.
We appreciate the fact that people feel so strongly about wildlife, but they're not pets. Feed your pets, but don't feed wildlife, because once they break down that fear of us and they now depend on us, now they're less capable of getting food on their own.
He says the deer here have become domesticated because of people feeding them, and it's not clear how the deer they're looking for got the bone stuck in its throat. But Daly says some do chew on bones to get nutrients from them,
like calcium and phosphorus. So it's not entirely wild to see that a deer would be chewing on a bone, but for it to be stuck so far down the throat, that is what's really, really unusual about this.
He says what's making the search difficult is the deer has separated itself from the others.
It's Karen Adams up in the Hollywood Hills. There won't be any criminal charges in that illegal recording of leaders at LA City Hall making racist comments. That became a huge scandal about 2 years ago, led to the then president of the city council to step down. LA City Attorney's Office says there's no evidence that would support misdemeanor charges against two union employees that were tied to the recording. Council President at the time, Nuri Martinez, criticized a fellow council member and his black son's behavior during a parade.
And then there's this white guy with this little black kid who's misbehaved. The kid is bouncing off the effing walls on the floor.
Martinez stepped down after that audio came out. Two other council members were in that recording. Gil Cedillo got termed out of office. Kevin DeLeon is still there and is up for re-election next month. And we shouldn't lose the fact that the underlying discussion was about redistricting and how that happens in back rooms and that horse trading that goes on. And that led to a measure on the ballot in this election to create an independent redistricting commission. A former boy band star is dead. Next. Got some sudden and pretty shocking news from Buenos Aires this afternoon. Liam Payne, one of the five members of One Direction, died after falling from a hotel. Local papers there say the police were called to the hotel after responding to an emergency call about an aggressive man who could be under the effects of drugs and alcohol. Payne first appeared on The X Factor back in 2008. Returned when he was put in a group along with Harry Styles, Niall Horan, Lewis Tomlinson, and Zayn Malik. One Direction went on to sell tens of millions of records. Separated in 2016, and Payne started a solo career. 31 years old. That's the LA Local for this October 16th. We're sponsored by the LA Car Guy Family of Dealerships. See the inventory, all 14 dealerships. LACarGuy.com, 97.1 FM. Ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Get the Odyssey app. Search for KNX News. We're back tomorrow. I'm Alex Silverman. See ya.